This podcast is going to get interesting real quick, especially if you are following all the UFO happenings around the world. There's been more talk on mainstream news sources over the last couple of months about UFOs than I've heard in a long time, if ever. So I've got a couple of guys that are here to discuss everything UFO related. First of all, a guy named Patrick Dawson, who's a UFO enthusiast and a researcher. He has a site called eternalaliens.com. Him and I got to chatting, and he turned me on to Roderick Martin. Roderick Martin is a UFO investigator, and he's done a lot of work with MUFON, Mutual UFO Network. That organization's been around forever and has investigated countless UFO sightings. So he's got a lot to say about what's going on. So let's get this thing going. And please note that this podcast was recorded just prior to the UFO report that was released by the U.S. intelligence community late June of 2021. So we didn't have that info right in front of us. But this is some fascinating UFO information that you're about to hear. And the title of this podcast, it's called How a UFO Investigation Works. Welcome to Paranormalish.
JoJo on the Radio presents Paranormal-ish.
All right, Roderick Martin, let's start with a basic question. How does a UFO investigation work? Give me everything start to finish. I would love for myself and anyone listening to kind of get a picture of what goes on when you guys get the call. What do you do? What happens?
Well, it's going to begin like this. Someone has seen a UFO, okay? They go, honey, I can't believe what the heck that I just saw. I don't know how we need to keep this PG or not here, but, you know.
Do you?
Okay. Well, honey, I don't know what the hell I just saw out there. And that's where it begins. They seen something, and then they turn around and they begin the process of contacting MUFON. And this is where you're going to ultimately upload that information to their databases. Depending on geographically where it comes in at, because MUFON is worldwide, but all of the MUFON is state by state, is segmented. And then within the state, there are sections where each investigator handles the cases. So if they ordinarily came in and saw this in the state of Texas, they would submit it, and then it'll get filtered to our state director. Then our state director will then assign it to a MUFON investigator. So we have a CMS, and I'll get an email, and it'll say you have just been assigned a case in what we call in progress or assigned. Then I have to go into the database, put it into what we call in progress mode. And then depending on the classification of that case determines how quickly we need to contact the witness, whether it's in 24 hours, 72 hours, you know, a week or whatever, you know, just depending on the classifications, because some stuff are more urgent than others. Within that particular case file, depending on what the witness has put in there, and normally the date, the time of the event, some type of description, what they saw, whatever it was, because there's a lot of things, the boxes that they can click during the process of uploading that particular case. And so we'll see all of this. If they have data such as audio or not audio, but video files, photographs, and things like that would also be uploaded into the database, the CMS. So once all of that stuff is done by the witness, for example, there's a lot of people out there that call 911 or whoever they think to report it to. Now, those are not reported to MUFON. So ordinarily, I don't get those. But because I do stuff on the outside, I do get some of those cases. But through MUFON, then I'll go through the process. And this where the work changes a little bit. Because now, although you're going to see video, you can see all of the different data. Our job now is to investigate all of the information. This is prior to contacting the witness themselves. And so what I would do then is begin the process. So hypothetically, if someone said it was this time of day at 6:30 in the afternoon, it was cloudy, or I saw it. And then, so I'll go and we'll check the database, the weather. Okay. And there's a database we can use to go back and check weather patterns, wind speeds, the history all the way back years from now. You know, every day is recorded. And so that starts the process, because if someone said in their thing that I saw it clear and all of a sudden I'm looking at the weather that day in that time that in their area was, you know, cloudy. So they're kind of going to go like, you know, I got to look. And then if they gave me a photo that it clearly shows something, but yet that day it was a cloudy day, you know, or so whatever.
A couple of red flags start popping up. And
they start popping up. Oftentimes the metadata in the photograph. And I hint this to my friends all the time. I said, man, you know, especially the ones who are not really going with the oath of being married or how are they doing. So I said, man, be careful sending your wife this photo. I'm over here with my boys, because there's data in this thing. There is actually data that'll say, no, this photo was taken over here at this exact time, blah, blah, blah. And so we pull that up all the time. And sometimes it doesn't match up. You know, it doesn't match up with where they say, and it could be a photo that they got off the internet somewhere else that still had metadata attached to it inside of it. And it's 5 years old. But now once we go through that process and all those things are accurate, then we move into, I make sure I can check flight radar patterns, you know, making sure it wasn't a plane that flew over at that moment. I can check all the aviation to see what plane was right there in those areas at that time. So, and how high it was. And judging by the description that they give, I got to make a determination. So if they say they think this thing was thousands of feet in the sky, I know what a jumbo jet looks like at a certain height to a human when it comes down to thinking what they saw. And if it was a sunny day, the reflection could then give it a metallic look. Now it looks like it's some, you know, spear, saucer, craft thing, you know, so there's a lot of possibilities there that we have to disseminate when it comes down through that. Then, you know, if it was night, then of course I'm checking the satellite, Starlinks and whatever's happening and all that particular points too. And there's more, but you know, it goes into a lot of things, not to debunk what someone said, but only to verify the information. And so once we go through that, then the challenge goes into checking out where the witness lived, the, you know, whatever they gave us, you know, so we'll start backtracking that. And then I can look at the terrain. So let's say that they were, you know, lived in a rural area, but yet I look and I notice there's an airport, you know, 30 miles away. And now that kind of tells me different things, because if it's real close to an airport, I know it's not drones because there's a restricted area. Most drones can't even fly in those areas with the chips that they have in them these days, you know. So you start eliminating some of those things. But then you go back and say, wait a minute, there's a military, you know, air base or something nearby. So that starts a whole different ball game, because most people know that military have planes and spy crafts and things that they have, you know, that they test. We don't know where, but, you know, the TRB-7, you know, that, you know, triangle shaped plane is commonly misconfused with an UFO now. It's one of our secret crafts that we have out there. So once we go through that process, and once we go that, then it's time to contact the witness.
Let me ask one quick question before you talk about contacting the witness. When you, if they live next to a military base and you want to verify something that could be from that base, are the military bases generally cooperative? Or
no.
They don't give you anything.
They don't give us anything. But what that does is it allows you, and now you go back and see what size the base is. The certain air bases can only contain or handle certain size aircrafts. Okay. So this gives you an elimination of what they saw. But that doesn't mean that secret plane couldn't have been flying into that base as a test that night. And usually you're going to get these kind of things at night. You ain't going to get it in the daytime.
Right.
But it just breaks down. You got to go through all the possibilities first. And so the military base is not going to, but they can't, let me back up for a minute. They can't hide flight patterns, supposedly, right? And you know, because the flight logs are going to be there. And so the radar and traffic control system that we access, all flights are documented unless it's going to be one of your high three levels that are really trying to make some stuff disappear, right? Learned that in A Few Good Men. So the movie, right? You know, he made a whole flight. You can't handle the truth. He made a whole Colonel Markison make the flight disappear. Yeah. So, and so it's just one of those things that when you look at it, and so you just kind of go into, and it's funny you said that, because I usually keep this queued up all the time and go,
"You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth."
Yeah. So, you know, it's you know what I'm saying? So it's one of those, that's just one of my favorite lines I keep queued up, you know? And so it goes into that particular situation. And I think that, so the military ain't telling us nothing. But again, then I look and see if there is a regular commercial airport. Then if it's some small airfield, then you kind of like, yeah, you know. And so then it gets interesting, because you now, once you pass all those possibilities, you then look at the photos that they provided. Sometimes, a lot of times, the photos just show this little blurry or it's red. And then it's Chinese lanterns, because I get a lot of those and I know exactly what I see. And it's different for some reason when you take a picture of a lantern, Chinese lantern, with your phones, no matter who did it, the phone somehow has this little streak thing that the camera just can't see how it moves. I'm not for sure what happens, but hundreds of them the same. And so, interesting part is when you contact the witness, JoJo.
So all the boxes have been checked. Mm-hmm. Everything looks legit. Now it's time to meet.
No, even if it's not legit, I'm still got to contact the witness.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I don't tell them what I found either, you know, because all this got to end up in a report. But at this point, all the boxes have been checked to move forward to contact the witness. Okay. Gotcha. Not so much of yay or nay, but by this time I'm gathering a hypothesis of what I'm going to be talking about, you know, or what my thing would be, you know, or my decision, or where I'm going to tag it as an IFO, you know, in which is man-made objects, or, you know, we have classifications at the end that we put these things in. So, you know, man-made, UFO, IFO, you know, so it's all these different things that are unknown. Sometimes we don't know what it is or what it was, you know, and so that's always a possibility and is a possibility. So we contact the witness, and this is where it gets interesting. Because never fail, they was outside, right?
They got to be outside.
And the other part of that was I was drinking sometimes. All right. And you got to ask this question, and you got to not offend them and say, all right, well, what was you drinking? Oh, I just had a little glass of wine. Now, okay, I've been doing this a long time. And so I got to delicately say to this person, what is a glass of wine to you? Because believe me, to the average drinker, a glass of wine is a sip, but yet to some people it's a keg. You get what I'm saying? They just had a little bit to drink, but it's a keg. So you got to delicately get into that with them, because believe me, they know what's about to happen if they alert to you that they had, you know, 12 glasses of wine and some, you know, liquid courage over here, and mix it with some little extra, and now they saw a UFO. And when it could have been a bird. So now it gets interesting. So you got to play this role of being a real delicate. And then when you're getting all the details of this, and then you can say, okay, no problem. And then some of them will get you quick. Well, I mean, I wasn't drinking at all. Not now, but not at that moment. And because I had stopped drinking, you know, hours early. Now, okay, that's supposed to let me know that you stopped drinking 2 hours, an hour earlier, but I got to still come back and say, well, before that hour, how much were you drinking? Because now you could be drunk, right? You just threw drinking. You drunk now, though, right? So it's like, okay. And that's not all the time, though. I'm just saying. It, you just have to just go through that, the process. You also got to go, and now we are looking at their education, their work, the things that they do for a living. So, of course, quite naturally, if it's someone in a real high position, highly, you know, at some point where you think, you know, they're not going to give you this bad information because of their situation. And it doesn't matter. They can be educated or uneducated. What they saw is what they saw, right?
Right.
And a witness is a witness. But then you try to go through this if it's some young kid. And then when you're talking to them, you hear the skepticism. you hear they went from UFO to these are properly, you know, could be demons or something. You know, they'll say things in the conversation that you have to say he wasn't drinking. He was smoking.
You know? Fair
you
point.
Know what I'm saying? I asked the wrong damn question. You know, you know what I'm saying? So you got to come back to that. Like, and that's a hard question. Cause you go, do you smoke cigarettes? And they'll say, nah, but really I'm trying to get to the next, do you smoke this shit? Okay. You know, you know, so you gotta be real delicate on that part. Right. And so you're just doing your homework, getting the baseline. But then there's a lot of times they don't smoke, they don't drink, they work for some bona fide firm. They, you know, and they get you before you get to them. They'll give you some statistics of this is what I do. I was a former pilot, so I know this thing wasn't flying that fast. It couldn't have made this type of turn because we don't have aircraft like that, you know. So when I get those scholars, then it gets interesting because now you're not no longer investigating when you're supposed to. They're telling you. And I'm almost saying, well, why report it if you know what it is? You know, you got all why call us, you know, to look into, hell, you done investigation further than I am, you know? And so it's a lot of fun is what I'm saying. And gotcha. At the end of the day, nobody's crazy. These things are real. They're out there. We're not alone. And I take it very, very seriously for every report that I get. I was just humorously going through the procedure because I enjoy what I do. But at the end of the day, it is a serious matter, and there are things out there we need to know what it is.
Let me jump to, and I may want to come back and get some of your most notable cases later on, but Patrick and I were talking about this, and we've all been talking about this. What's happening right now? Let me just jump to the meat of everything. Over the last couple of years, the government's released some video. We've all seen, or most people listening to this podcast have probably seen the pilot video. What is the Tic Tac in the sky? All this fun stuff. A couple of months later, more gets released. Now we're at this disclosure. Cut straight to it. You've investigated. You've researched. What is happening right now? Just both sum it up for me. What is going on?
I sum it up for you to say once again. You know, the bullshit that we get in the public as they treat us kids like kids. We're not alone. We're being visited. Plain and simple. Okay. And what we're about to find out is what we in our community have always known. It's what the people now are starting to hear. Should it be a little more, outcry or any more interest, you know, a lot more than what we have right now. The interest is just only the people that's been keeping up with the subject matter. It's now like a vindication, you know,
right.
Aha. All these people that people thought, even though they had a lot of evidence in their stories, people were thinking they still was some type of bogus claim. You got to now go back and look at all these cases and say, there could be some validity in this now. We have been visited. It's now proof. The government has did a press release. May 20th, they did a press release, and your audience can go Google it right now. The Pentagon did a press release on May 20th. And I think the title of that was the State Department of Defense on the release of those historical Navy videos that you were talking about. And they said that we are being visited by vehicles not made from this earth. Okay.
The Pentagon put on a press release May 20th, 2020. I assume.
2020. Yeah. Yeah. And your audience can Google it. Look it up. It's right there. But they did it at the time COVID was out. There was a lot of protesting going on. There was a lot of stuff going on, distractions, right?
That was a big day for Bob Lazar. I remember on on Instagram, Bob Lazar put out a post that basically said, you know, he expects the government to come out and correct it shortly after because he couldn't even believe that they did that.
Yeah, and wow. They didn't correct it because they knew it is time. So to your question, JoJo, is nobody knows what the freak or the fuck is happening, okay? Is the fact is now it's just too much evidence is getting out there that they cannot continue to hide it as much as they want to. Now, on a whole nother side of the fence, me being not just a UFO investigator, but also a researcher and all these things, and being connected in the community, there are some that's saying, such as what you heard with the Israeli guy that did his little show, that the extraterrestrials are starting to say, it is time. There is time for humanity to know the existence. Now, that is just a storyline, right? And he said it live or whatever. But at the end of the day, just most recently, Barack Obama, former president, said it best. Do you remember what he said? We got a second. I can play it.
Let's do it.
Just can hear it. Let's go.
When it comes to aliens, there are some things I just can't tell you on air. But what is true, and I'm actually being serious here, is that there's footage and records of objects in the skies that we don't know exactly what they are. We can't explain how they moved, their trajectory. They did not have an easily explainable pattern. And so, I think that people still take seriously trying to investigate and figure out what that is.
Now, see, right there, that is him, just really trying to dance, but saying what the truth is. We don't know what the hell that is out there in some cases, right? So picture this for a moment. Picture a UFO coming out the water, because that's where most of them are. And for everyone to know that, the Earth is covered in 70-something% water, and only 3-4% of the water on Earth has man even explored. Perfect place to hide. Okay. Most of the Navy stuff is saying that they're seeing this in the water. 93% of UFO reportings are coming out of water, places we can't go here on Earth. And that goes back to the theory that people are saying they've been here all the time. They've always been here. It's more interdimensional. So that closes into that theory. But the picture is this. The example is this. Something pops up out of the water. Who is going to report what they're going on? The Navy, okay? Now, the Navy has planes, too. So this thing is going into the sky now. But because, as you heard with the government, Barack Obama just said there, Marco Rubio, all of the senators and everybody's claiming this is technology that we can't even keep up with, the speeds and all of that. So what happens when this thing outruns the Navy plane and goes from one end of the spectrum to the other? The Air Force picks up something on their radar. Okay. So now the Air Force has a sighting that they have, and this thing continues to go and outruns the Air Force. But if it happens to land or crash, the Army picks up on it. Okay. And now they have a file of a UFO. And if it abducts someone, now we got the FBI and the CIA who's got reports that there's been an abduction, or cattle mutilation. I'm just giving an example of all of this one UFO, but has been compartmentalized in all of these different agencies who don't communicate with each other. This is the problem that we're having, because they all have their own research. They all got their own black ops. They all got their UFO files, and they're not telling each other nothing. And they've been this way for years. People don't know. We may have a military force, but there are not one. Okay. Right. That's just not happening. So now Congress says the hell with that. So in the COVID package, what did it say? We need all these agencies to start reporting in one place what you know. So now we know right now, as of today, the 5 and 5 got an issue over there. And 5 and 5 is our covert word of the Pentagon. The building is 5 angles and 5 stories. So that 5 and 5 has a problem. And they don't want to do this. They're not giving up their information because there's a lot of technology. Navy has weaponry. They have reverse engineer things. And the Army has their weapons. And Air Force got new crafts that they're doing. They all want to be on top of the factions, and they're not talking. Now, why did they do this? Because what most people don't know or should know, we now have a space force. How effective can, and it's called the Guardians, right? How effective can they be without having the information that everybody knows?
Fair
point. That's why they're being asked to give everything they know, so that the space force, who are supposed to be the defenders of us, can have the technology and the knowledge. But the factions are not doing it. So we know that there's either going to be some type of what's the word I'm looking for? They're going to stall this effort in the next 45 days. There are going to be some congressional hearings. There's got to be. We're going to have to pull it out of them. And because it's a space force, then that also does the other part. They can't no longer hide all these black op monies because, and they really don't want to. And this just goes into the false flag thing of how we can make these sightings become a threat. And now the public gets behind funding a whole new military operation, which comes down to money.
Needless to say, this is an exciting time for the UFO community because something, at least something is coming out. Who knows what? We've been, according to your research and Patrick's research, and I think you guys would agree, we've been, well, I think you've said it, we've been being visited for quite a while. Mm-hmm. To your best guess, or do you have any research to back up, or do you think they are among us in some way? And if so, do you think some of these beings in some form could be, you know, within the government? Or is that crazy talk?
I don't think it's crazy talk, personally. You know, if your audience was having a visual right now that we have behind me is, you know, I got files of files, UFO files, Navy, Air Force, FBI, MUFON. There's a lot of evidence that points to that there's types of collaboration that we have with extraterrestrials, with all the governments, not just ours. And let people know that the United States is not just the leader of the free world when it comes to extraterrestrials. It all started with Germany at one point being the first point of contact. So it goes down to on one side of the fence that because of the technology that we've been given and all of the things that we have reverse engineered, it is evidence that it had to come from some type of collaboration with some extraterrestrials. Okay. In fact, there's been reports that our government is working with them. There's been reports that there has been some here. And then there's also been reports that there are some shapeshifters that are part of our government. And there's been some videos that have shown the shapeshifting happening in real time. And what that shapeshifting is that they look like us, whatever technology they have. And if it goes flawed for a minute, it shows their true identity. Okay. And so there's been reports of that. And I've seen some video footage of that happening. And of course, you got to wonder if it's CGI and all that. But it does come back to coordinate with some of the facts and information. So to answer that question, there is a high possibility, yes, that there are some type of coordination between our, you know, people of power, and it don't even have to be government. It could be some of these defense contractors. It could be anybody. And hopefully what they're saying, they're pretty much ran into something. So, but yes, to answer the question, now, do I have physical proof of outside of the research that I do, the people that I talk to, you know, I have not walked up and said, okay, are you an extraterrestrial? Now, I've interviewed Barbara Lamb. You know, she's a hypnotherapist, regression therapist. She's written a book about hybrids, and she specializes in a lot of that. And now she has given me a lot of proven information or facts that she have uncovered that hybrids exist. They walk among us. You know, there's a lot of different people that, you know, prove those points. And so, but it's highly unlikely that we don't have some type of a relationship with extraterrestrial. Just look at our military, look at our, the technology, the design of some of the things that's happening and weaponry, and just know. And then of course you get the rumors that we're already doing, you know, other planetary things. Now this goes back into Patrick's world now, where the past is supposed to be there. The DNA is, we were created, you know, from some of these extraterrestrial lineages, and that they do come here to help us become a better place, a better planet to go. But that's not my direction. You know, I'm more into why the hell are they here? What's really happening? What we don't know and what we do need to know. Why are they visiting our military installations? And, you know, why are we dealing with certain aspects of this phenomenon? And, you know, and so I'm more into that space. And so maybe that was just a long answer of saying, yeah, they're working with our, they have to, because, and what people don't understand, if someone is higher intelligence, is what we're saying, then that explains why they're not popping out in front of the White House. Because think about it, all of us who are listening right now, how many of us sit in our front yard and we're standing looking out on the grass, and you just sitting there one evening, JoJo, you know, just having a drink, and you look over in the corner of your yard and a pile of ants just done blew up some shit, right? You know, and you're going, what the hell they doing over there? You know what I'm saying? Damn, they're going to burn down the whole damn yard. You know, what are you going to do? You're going to get in your craft shoes, I'm just saying, you know, and you're going to fly over there to see what the hell is going on, right? Now, you have an opportunity here. If you really want to disturb the ants, you can just hit down on the mound, right? But now you know all of them are going to run out in hysteria and everything else. So I'm using it as an analogy. They see us as ants. They're not going to just show up and mess up humanity and have all of us out here running around out of our nest, scrambling the ant nest by parking themselves on top of the ant mound, right? And so you got to understand they're smarter than that. They know. Okay, so they're going to handle themselves in a backdrop like they've been doing. But as they're flying around, they just can't hide. They got to go from here to there and get their McDonald's too, right? I don't know, but you get what I'm saying.
Totally get it, yeah.
Yeah, so that's the process. And so what we're seeing is that we can see more of them. People are looking up a little more than they used to. And they've just been here in plain sight too.
Patrick, what would you like to add to that?
That was a whole lot.
And let me know if I talk too much. No.
God, please.
This is exactly why I made sure I did everything I could to get Roderick on the show with me, where, you know, I may dabble more into the speculative side of aliens and, the funner side and all that type of stuff. You know, Roderick is stone cold serious on a lot of these subjects. And, you know, although he's hilarious at the same time, but, he brings a lot to the table, and you can hear that, with how he's talking on the subject already. But man, there was a really interesting documentary I watched, Above Majestic, that talked about, you know, the alien structure within governments. And man, that was so interesting, but yet I can't prove anything. And that's where a lot of this stuff, becomes taboo, because, you can read books. You know, I read an excellent book, Jim Mars, The Alien Agenda. There's a really strong case for the alien being some sort or the moon being some sort of alien base. The moon is not made up of the same material of that Earth is, you grew up, in history thinking that, the moon was a byproduct of Earth, colliding with another planet and, some of the debris from, the collision is what caused the moon. That was the given narrative. And you start to read some of these books and the moon's not made up of the same material Earth is. It would be like the most absolute chance thing for the moon to be in the position that it's in, because it's in the absolute perfect position. If the moon was a couple directions this way, a couple directions that way, it would throw off the entire planet. You know, our seasons would change, everything would change. And then there's even accounts of Native American tribes that talk about how they talk of the Earth prior to the moon being here. And that was, handed down through their ancestors, So that's kind of crazy too. And yet, everyone always throws out the same thing. Where's the proof? Where's the proof? And these are the same people that have been saying the aliens don't exist for so long. And now finally the government is, telling you that they're real. And there's still, you know, there's still people out there that are, you know, spinning the narrative. And we're in a different kind of, you know, realm right now as far as disinformation. You know, Richard Doty, who is one of the most talked about names in the alien community. I mean, well, one of the talked about names in the alien community. And this guy was the king of, you know, disinformation. He talks about bringing bags of cash to media networks to pay off people, you know, because this is what the government was doing and has continued to do and might even be involved in doing right now. You know, like, who even knows that the narrative that we're being fed right now is the right narrative? You know, who knows if they're trying to spin it in some, you know, different kind of way, you know, and we don't know. But to me, my knowledge and things that I've read have all really like just come down to, you know, I can only verify so much, you know, and then I have to kind of trust my intuition and my gut past that. And I love listening to Roderick and, you know, others like him that bring those facts to the table. But then, you know, there's these other subjects that, you know, I do kind of like to fall into, you know, the speculative realm on. And also, you know, it's funny because Roderick was talking and, you know, Roderick being an investigator had to see whether or not if they were on, if they were drinking or smoking and, you know, that's like, you know, what, you know, and that's completely understandable. Like, I understand that, like, we want to see if these people are serious and whatnot. But I've had some experience, you know, with psychedelics that have, you know, kind of broken down these walls of, you know, of reality and these dimensions that we're in. And, you know, you could say, oh, you know, Patrick, you're just hallucinating. But if you start to look at, you know, the history behind psychedelics, I mean, they were used by Native Americans for so long to communicate with, you know, aliens and ghosts and spirits and all sorts of things like that. And, you know, we've been just like, there's a disinformation campaign with aliens. There's a disinformation campaign with psychedelics. They're harmful. They're this, they're that. I mean, you know, we have laws against plants, you know, think about that. We have laws against plants, laws against marijuana, laws against mushrooms, you know, saying that the earth didn't know better. Sorry, but we're going to take the reins on this one. The earth was wrong. You can't do this stuff. You know,
I will say one thing. You did bring up the one thing about disinformation. And could this, whether, let's say the government's, what they're about to release is the most amazing UFO information and it's completely accurate. I wouldn't be surprised to see the government using that as a distraction to slide something else through on the other side, because why not take that and use it to their advantage? So that's another story altogether. Let me jump to, are we in danger, Roger? Do you feel that we're in danger of any sort?
I think we are in mental danger, not physical danger. And Patrick can kind of allude to that too, because there's a lot of people, depending on their religious background, cannot handle what's coming down the pipeline, the existence that we're not alone in, the possibilities of everything else. Physically, nobody knows except for whether it's going to be a false flag operation, saying that we are, that everybody need to come together. There's some type of an attack coming. Would I say this? And again, I'm going to use this as an analogy to everyone that's listening. If someone drives by your house and they got guns pointed out of the window, they didn't do the drive by, they just drove by and you knew you couldn't do nothing about it. What are you going to do next time? You're going to be prepared case damn things decide they want to shoot. So we got stuff driving by. We don't know how to handle it. And if they did engage, we can't do shit about it. Why wouldn't we get prepared for the drive-by? You get what I'm saying?
Fair point.
And so, yeah. And so the answer is, I don't want not to be ready if they decide to want to open up a can of whoop ass on us. Because the whole point is, when I gave that analogy about the ant story, so that everybody can realize that we just ants, and that if you were the person on that front porch and saw those ants, you do have the power to walk over there and just eliminate the whole colony. You can just go down to the hardware store and wherever that store is for them and get some shit and just eliminate the whole population. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
So, and that's us. We got stuff flying around that we don't know what it is, and our technology can't defend us from it. So you ask me, are we in danger? I just hope we're not. right? And so it's in the news, you know, it's on CBS, you know, that they're now talking about it, you know, 60 Minutes talking about it, CNN yeah. talking about it, Fox News talking about it. Now we talk every day. So you tell me, and there are now somebody saying for years, they seeing UFOs every day. And we're just now hearing about one or two sightings, you know? So on one hand, the military, and then you got pilots saying, we don't know what they are. And then on the other hand, you got people trying to say they don't believe them, like Patrick said, but yet we got people with sophisticated knowledge, high intelligence, flying in these airplanes with some of the best technology, saying whatever that was, it's faster than what we can do. It's moving in capacities that we can't even do. And yet everybody's saying, well, it's nothing going to happen. Well, I just don't want the people to drive by to stop and decide to say, well, let's just shoot. And we're not ready. So that's my theory. So I'm not going to put it out there that we are under a threat. It's just the fact is, what the hell are we going to do if they decide to do something different? Right. And so right. let's be prepared for something, you know, other than everything else. And if they just stop out and say, I come in peace, and then we put our guns down, that's good enough for me. But you get what I'm saying? But I want our shit raised at all times, just in case the drive-by decide to want to shoot. You know, and so we're not going to put disinformation out there of saying everybody should be feared. Now, there was a case, and now I'm going to really butcher this up. And Patrick, you might know the name. It was called a Amara, whatever. You guys remember that?
More.
This is what one of the things I think was pivotal in why we're moving. This object, nobody knew what it was except for one of the scientists or astrologists, came and was coming from a long place, looked like some type of rock. They thought it looked like an asteroid. And this happened a couple of years ago. Well, what happened was this thing didn't have the normal movement because it starts slowing down. And so we know it has to be some type of mechanical thing. When it got to our atmosphere, it turned back and went back where it was coming from faster, as though it said, oh, something we see, let's go. And ever since then, we've been moving for our space force, a lot of stuff. So that one there, now we might have all, and then it's also said that a lot of extraterrestrials are not friendly. They do not like humans. There are some out there, and then there are some who says not. So this is where you get into those from the Stephen Greer, you know, saying they all come in peace.
Right.
From some of like Linda Moulton Howe, who was on my show the other day saying, shit, there's a lot more happening out there. So those two different factions, but I would like to tend to believe the second one, that we want to be prepared for intimate, because I'm already living the current one because ain't nothing happening to us, right? So I don't want to get complacent and prepare for what nothing is happening. I rather might as well be ready for the shit that could happen. You know,
I think if you look at them, as humans, some are nice, some ain't. There
you go. You're making a great point. Some
it's just probably something along those lines. Do you ever see a time, or do you see any evidence pointing to, maybe this is just a gut feeling on both your parts, but will we ever have an obvious landing that is undeniable, that even the like an Independence Day style, we are here? Or do you think, I mean, I don't know what kind of evidence would lead you to believe that, but maybe that's more of a gut feeling question. Well, something like that.
We already had those.
I was going to say they've had that, JoJo. There's been a couple of those
covered up. We had them. They've been here all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. There's one account of, I think in Zimbabwe, where they landed on a school ground, you know, and there was, 80 to 100 people that were just out, you know, outside, and they were kids playing on the school grounds, and the craft came down.
I saw
down.
That documentary, yeah.
But now look what they did, though. They said, oh, they were kids, so how could they possibly know? Now, all three of us on the phone right now. Were we all some dumbass kids when we were kids? You know, were we? You know, now we may could see some stuff, but there also, we know some people in our classrooms that was some bookworms then and now went on to become scientists today. So that was some smart ass kids back in the day. So I wouldn't think all of them kids were just dumb now that they're trying to say, well, you know, on the other hand, oh, they was kids. How could they know what they seen? That's the debunker side, right? Not from the documentary. But, you know, I heard all those stories. Oh, they were just kids. They made it up. You know, kids see anything. Really? 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 Now, I know we believe in Santa Claus, but you get what I'm saying. Some things you just can't pull over kids' eyes. They knew what they was looking at, and they're reporting it as adults today.
I would have to agree, yeah.
You know, it's, I mean, and, you know, there's been others, but, you know, that documentary, you know, they came back, you know, 20 years later, and they, you know, all the kids still kept their exact same story. And you know whose story changed? The teachers.
There you go. That was my point.
Because the teachers told whoever it was that they didn't see anything. And then they had to come back out later on and corroborated the kid's story and said, you know, we were just scared of repercussions or whatever. And, you know, they said that, you know, that's what they saw. At least I'm pretty sure that's what I remembered from the documentary.
And you're spot on, Patrick, because, you know, adults can be threatened. Who's going to be known for sitting a bunch of kids down saying, okay, now if you guys say anything, off with your, you know, lunch boxes, who whatever. You get what I'm saying? And they're not going to threaten some kids, but you can turn around and tell a kid what you thought you saw wasn't there. And unfortunately, that happens in all aspects of life, whether it was some heinous act that someone had made a deed to a child, and the child tells the adult, and the adult says it's not what you really thought it was. You get what I'm saying? Until they grow up and they go, it was that, you know. So they got to the adults, because that'll be most likely the people that people will believe, and shut them down then. Now the kids are the adults, and they're looking into the eyes of those adults, say, come on now. And now these adults have to come fishing with each other. So, you know, and that's what you're seeing.
Once again, you guys, I've got Roderick Martin, UFO investigator, works with MUFON, and Patrick Dawson, UFO enthusiast and researcher. I want to do another podcast with you guys. And Roderick, I think the next podcast, since we've been rolling pretty crazy here, I want to go through your notable cases that you've investigated. Maybe we'll do that in the next podcast, but I want to, I don't want to wear you guys out today, but I guess two more questions I've got. And I heard this on, I forget who stated this on your Clubhouse room the other day, but, and maybe it was you, but someone said we can communicate with them, whoever them is. And there was a radio frequency this guy was talking about, radio frequency 144.1. Maybe I have that frequency wrong, but I think that's what it was.
That'll be Whitley Strieber.
What is he talking about? Is there anything to that?
Whitley, I don't know exactly the context of the frequency, but Whitley is the author of the book, books, Communion, which are some of the most noted, or one of the most noted UFO abduction stories, which were made into a movie, you know. And he's also authored about 40 other books, and he's written different things, but he still has, an implant, in his body, from stories that I heard, and himself, I don't think he mentioned it the other day, but he's still saying that he's still being visited right now. And so, or being communicated with them still, you know, extraterrestrial. So he was the one on the show that brought that information up front.
So that radio frequency communicates with the implant in his body. Is that kind of how he says it?
Well,
works?
I don't know if he referenced it toward the implant, because if my memory serves me, we didn't get into that on the subject of the implant, because he was telling a story, or he brought it up. But he did say about frequencies and still having communications, that he did.
All right, I have to look more into that. Yeah, he did. I don't recall him saying that either. I'm just trying to add things up in my head, and who knows. What am I forgetting on this podcast? We have a lot more we can cover in a future podcast. What am I forgetting to ask you right now that people need to know?
That question for me or Patrick?
Bob,
or
both of you, actually.
All right, Patrick, you can go ahead and I'll go after me.
Yeah, Patrick, what am I forgetting to ask?
Well, I mean, when you're talking about the UFO subject, there's so many points to cover. But I think that a lot of people, I would think that a lot of people are, you know, confused. The people that, that, you know, are heavily you know, involved in this are super, you know, broken apart on this. Are they here for peace? Are they here, you know, for ascension? You know, the people that, that communicate with aliens, which can be interpreted again in a lot of different ways, but, you know, Roderick has Anjali on his show pretty often. This is a former, you know, CIA, she worked high up in the government. And Roderick can give you the credentials, but, you know, she, you know, claims that, she's actually been to the side of a mountain, and in the side of the mountain, there's that she met aliens, that they were there in the side of this mountain, and she had this experience with them, and now she communicates with them. And you know, essentially what they're talking about, and this is something that you wouldn't know to ask without me bringing up, but what they're speaking about is that we are at this point, and a lot of people are share the same vision that, you know, we're on our journey to ascension, and they want us to raise our consciousness, raise our vibration. And, you know, I think that, you know, people are talking about aliens, but I think that really, you know, where we're at because of COVID and everything that's gone on in the last year is, you know, people, you know, waking up to who they really are. And I think, you know, the more and more I get involved in this subject, the more and more it comes down to consciousness and less about, you know, aliens themselves, more about, you know, why we're here on Earth. We're here to learn. We're here to grow. You know, and I think that that needs to be a part of our conversation, too.
All right, Roderick, same question. What am I forgetting to ask? What's the final thought people need to know?
Well, I think the final thought is that people need to prepare themselves mentally for the possibilities of everything. And the question that we really didn't, once again, is get the answer to is why are they here? Why is the government sharing or beginning to come forth more? Now, the question you didn't ask and we didn't get into is there's rumors of technology is about to be released, free energy, different things that could change the economic scope of what we're doing, or our economics around. So there's a lot of things there that we can get into, when it comes down to the possibilities of that. So I guess I can back up and say, it's not so much of what you didn't ask, because, you know, you asked some great questions, right? We could just talk about more things,
right?
Yeah. And that could be a whole nother podcast. Right. And so maybe what we'll do, if we are going to come back and talk about some of these things, we can put another segment together on the top five things people should know that's happening. Right. Or something like that. And as this thing moves forward, more information, but the surprisingly part of this, and I think the great part for your listeners to continue to home in on your podcast is because the stuff is changing every day now, you know, so tomorrow, it's not today. What are we going to know tomorrow? And so the concern is, as you remember in the movie, what is it? Men in Black, the first one, when they first recruited Will Smith, you know, Tommy Lee Jones, Agent K or whatever. And he sat out there on the bench that night after he showed him, you know, downstairs and said, join us. And he looked at him. He says, why all the secrets? And he said, people, you know, how come we can't tell people what's really happening? See, that's the questions we have today. But he looked at him and he said, people, he said, here's the deal. A person is smart, but people are stupid, dumb, blah, blah, blah. So what's got to happen now is that one person at a time needs to start tuning in more and more and more until everybody can handle the real truths. And that's my thing too, for all of us who got children, it is, I think, imperative that you begin the process of buying telescopes, getting them familiar, our next generation familiar with the stars or something, because mentally they got to know something else is out there when it does transpire. Otherwise, our kids are just going to be thrown for a loop. At least get them interested in the stars, just looking at the moon at night, something so they're not caught off guard when we're not here, when these things do pop up out of the thing, that our next generation are prepared for the inevitable of thought that there's life beyond us walking around here.
Mic drop on that. Once again, that's Roderick Martin and Patrick Dawson. Patrick, make sure to check out Patrick's website, eternalaliens.com. Some cool merch, very cool merch. And I hope you send me some. Patrick, Roderick, if people see a UFO and or something they believe to be a UFO, how can they contact you, or what's the best way to contact, how do they contact MUFON?
MUFON, they can go to MUFON.com and they can get, you know, with that. Now, if they want to get personable because they know you, they're part of your guests and they want to be handled personally as well, they can reach me. Now, I have a YouTube channel called Extraterrestrial Evidence, where I put some information out there. I also take all of our Clubhouse audio and just repost it on Extraterrestrial Evidence podcast itself. So it's just a duplication of that, you know, all the interviews and stuff that I do on Clubhouse. But I also have an email, which is proof@extraterrestrialevidence.com, that they can send information to as well. And then one more thing, if they want a personal touch, they can text me. I receive texts every day to the, you know, and we talk to people and I reply to it. It's 972-784-8814. And if they want to hashtag UFO to it, they'll get on our contact list. And whenever I have rooms or whenever we have information, I send it out immediately to people, keep people informed. So there's just, you know, many ways of doing that. But, you know, I will also tell them to stay tuned with your podcast, because you do a lot of great job of getting information out to people. And, you know, it's people like yourself that I think makes this thing move, because, you know, the unbiased approach, you know, you listening to it from both sides and you put the information out there for your audience to get the truth, but also information that they can make their own decisions. And that's what makes it great.